Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason Fitz is a friend of the show. He's a friend of the program. You can catch him on Countdown to Game Day. You can catch him on Golic and Wingo. He joins every Monday. He joins us now. Let's get it.
It's ESPN's Jason Fitz. And hear him now live with Jason and John.
Fitz, what's up, brother?
You guys having a celebration out in Memphis? I mean, y'all better be partying. What a weekend for the city.
72 hours straight we have been partying, Fitz.
I feel like Memphis owes y'all and ESPN, a thank you for the all the respect and that y'all showed. And I think Memphis certainly put on for y'all, no?
Well, look, I'll be honest, man. I was nervous about what was the crowd going to look like, how was it going to be. When we showed up and you watched Beale Street just packed all the way back, I mean, the energy was palpable. I mean, Reese was talking about it before he went up on stage. It was just talking about how crazy and amazing the scene looked. And, you know, it was funny because I don't think any of us really knew what to expect, but for people to be coming through, and I sort of stole this from our time together hanging out on Friday when I started Countdown to Game Day. I was walking down a strip of fans, and I just asked a couple of different people, what's it mean to have game day at the 901? And just watching people speak about it, I mean, you got goosebumps just hearing people talk about what it meant to be there and what it meant for Memphis football. And, man, it was a great scene all day. And then for them to come out, I'm first to admit, I was wrong. I thought SMU would come out with all the firepower, all the glory in the moment. And Memphis, absolutely. I mean, not only did they win, but they were clearly the better football team in that game. So it's a huge win.
Yeah. Before we get sort of to the win and what that meant, I just kind of want to go back to game day. Obviously, thanks to your generosity, I was able to go down and experience game day. I won't forget it, honestly. I won't forget it for the rest of my life. That was an unbelievable scene just to be in the midst of all of that. But I am curious, Fitz, because I know you're around these guys. First time coming to Memphis, what did ESPN think of being here? What were the reviews that you got about the atmosphere, the environment, and game day in Memphis?
It was better than everybody expected. And that's saying something because people have pretty high expectations. But, you know, one of the things that really stood out before, and I mentioned this to you guys when we talked, in the production meeting on Friday, they were talking about how there's just this love and this give back between Memphis and people from Memphis, and there's a vibe that they really wanted to capture. And one of the overwhelming sentiments as we were leaving Memphis was, you can talk about that all day long, but you feel it when you're in it. And, you know, every fan base is proud of their football team that we've been to, for sure. What's different is just the level of pride in Memphis that sort of comes across, and pride in the event and the moment. And, you know, every little thing about it, when I walked the crowd beforehand, and, you know, one of the things I have to tell everybody, I go up and down this row where everybody has a sign, and, you know, I give everybody the same spiel. We're going to be live. There's going to be a million people watching it. We have to remember I work for Mickey Mouse, so if you wouldn't say it to Mickey Mouse, don't say it in front of me. They're always nervous on our digital shows that there's going to be that guy somewhere. And the funny thing was that the comment back from it wasn't just, we got you. It was, we want to make sure Memphis looks great. And, you know, that was real. And I think that's what overwhelmed everybody in a great way walking away from it, was how – there's a pride in the moment, a pride of sharing Memphis that I haven't seen from any of the other bigger communities that bigger football communities that we've been to. And of all the first places that we've gone to this year, I don't think anybody has felt more proud of the moment than Memphis football. So I that's really what continues to make the hair on everybody's neck stand up in a great way about what the experience is like.
You think they got a good shot to win the AAC and be the Group of Five representative of the Cotton Bowl?
I mean, my God, I went into that game thinking SMU, you know, with their 15 transfers and I thought that SMU was going to have the bigger physical advantage. They just don't. And, you know, I don't know that we've given enough credit to what Coach Norvell has been able to do there. And their ability to just plug and play playmakers at the running back position at this point is just sort of, it's alarming. Yeah, I mean, when Memphis plays the way they did, the maddening thing about Memphis is that, how do you look, you know, at times like you're vulnerable the week before, and then against a better opponent, you just come out and kick their butt. So, you know, I think if anything, though, the one thing that really hit me in talking to some of the kids from Memphis football and talking to Coach, I think everybody realized what a moment the game day could be for Memphis football.
Absolutely.
I'm interested to see how much it just charges their blood for the rest of the season, because now that they know that they have this level of attention, man, you know that you're going to get a little bit more eyes in the AP poll and a little bit more credit from the coaches poll, and that means a little bit more credit from the playoff committee. So suddenly it does feel like it's more – the eyeballs meant the attention was there, and they maximized on it.
You know, I think from a national perspective, everybody probably came into that game on Saturday night expecting to see some kind of, you know, dynamic performance from Kenneth Gainwell. I mean, he was – you know, he's one of the best running backs in the country, one of the most electric athletes in the country. But he was, I mean, by his standards, he was relatively contained. I mean, he did get in the end zone, but that game to me showed that Memphis is much more than just Kenneth Gainwell. I mean, they got playmakers up and down the field. What kind of message do you think that win sends across the nation about Memphis, Fitz?
I think it's a huge recruiting advantage for him. And you're right, Gainwell was not, the numbers weren't as dynamic as they could have been, but I think the thing that you saw even in that moment was that there was sort of a level of, let's say, respect that SMU was playing for
him
in the game.
They're here to stop him, no doubt. Yep.
And they were, the fact that Memphis was able to take advantage of it, I mean, when you talk about what it means for recruiting and what it means for sort of moving forward for the football program, at this point, you know, one thing that Coach said during game day that I thought was really important, and you know, whenever coaches speak, we know that part of the message is for their team and part of the message is for advertising. And he did a great job in the moment when Tom Rinaldi asked him about Memphis. He kept saying, look, we have really talented kids, and it's our job to make sure that we put each of them in the best position to be successful. And his recruiting message there was, if you're good, I'll find a way to make sure that you're great. And you know, that hit me when he was talking as his message to recruits. And that hit me when you watched the game plan, too. Like, they were able to get offensive production. They have just a level of explosiveness, and he kept talking about big plays during game day. I mean, it just felt like, as much as I thought pace of play was going to play to SMU's advantage, it felt like there was more urgency, and there was just a bit more, let's say, electricity and dynamicness from Memphis in that game. That was the difference, and that's where I think it really helps them moving forward, because they're not just a one-trick pony at this point.
Fitz, if you're an athletic director, let's say at Florida State, and you just got rid of Willie Taggart, do you go after the big fish first, like an Urban Meyer, right, shake that cage and just see, and then maybe have a Mike Norvell on your list? How are you approaching that if you're down at Florida State?
Yeah, if you're down in Florida State, you need an advertising win first and foremost. So, yes, unfortunately, and this is what happens to a lot of these big programs, they become so infatuated with getting the name brand
Pop.
So the boosters are
right,
happy,
right.
They don't look for the best coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do think that this is the moment where Memphis boosters and the university and Penny are all going to have to start just reminding, you know, Coach Norvell about what is spectacular and special about Memphis. This sounds strange, but one thing I would say, too, and we jokingly mentioned it flippantly on Friday, but, you know, ask Justin Fuente how he felt about moving out and moving up, because he doesn't have the same level of rope at Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what he's accomplished, I think that actually helps Memphis a little bit right now with the sales pitch with Norvell of saying, hey, you're doing something special here. You're getting eligible. You're in the conversation for the New Year's Six, and that's in and of itself incredible. So maybe all of that helps play to keeping Coach. But if I'm a major school right now, yeah, my first call of the rising, the next level of coaches would be to Mike Norvell and just to see what they can get from him.
Well, and what makes it complicated, as you know, for a school like Memphis and any school like Memphis is that Dana Holgorsen at Houston makes $4 million on average. You know, I mean, that really does. Like, I don't think Houston realizes, but they really messed it up for the rest of the Group of Five, because 99% of Group of Five schools can't pay that. They can't afford to pay a coach. I mean, that's power. That's what Mississippi State pays their coach. That's SEC money.
Right, and that's going to be the big question that Coach is going to have to ask himself. And, you know, certainly Memphis is not going to be in a situation where, you know, how do you pay anybody when you look at pay scales? And I'm not talking about specific to each coach, but when you look to range, like the range of the best paid coaches in college football and the range of the best paid coaches in college basketball, how do you justify paying anybody on the scale higher than Penny? Because, my God, you saw what Penny means to Memphis just at game day. I mean, the minute they announced he was there, the whole place went to a total different level. He is a rock god in that city, and rightfully so. But, you know, you've got to look at it and be careful and make sure that you're you're rewarding Penny in such a way that he feels like he's the most valued coach at Memphis, and then you've got to, you know, you've got to reward Coach Norvell for what he's done too. So they're not in an easy situation financially moving forward. This is the best problem to have, but ultimately it is still a problem.
It's going to cost you.
Now, Fitz, we were having a very spirited debate on Friday night at Blue City Cafe about the AAC and how much respect it was or was not getting. Did you happen to take a gander at the top 25 this morning?
I have not seen the top 25 yet this morning.
Well, perfect. That's perfect because I'm about to fill you in. Four teams from the American in the top 25. Better than the Pac-12. You like that?
Oh, that is strong work. I got no counter for that. You are absolutely right. Look, at the end of the day, what I'm happy about is the AAC getting the credit and the love it deserves. The problem is with the AAC conversation is we all want to make it about do they belong in the playoff, and we've had that conversation. I think it's a failed system that a group of schools just aren't even in the consideration for. I don't have the right solution. But I will say this, ultimately, what you want from the AAC is to get respect as a conference as a whole. Four in the top 25 is respect. So everybody needs to take just a second on the disrespect card of a playoff conversation and remember that it's not always just about the top four. And part of the reason we think the ACC stinks is because there's one good team and then just a bunch of hot garbage, right? So for the AAC, when you talk about holding coaches, you talk about facilities, you talk about boosters, you talk about all of the things that come into maintaining success, part of that needs to be your whole conference has to play well to get the notoriety at this level. The AAC is doing that. That's good for the AAC, which is good for college football.
Are the Baltimore Ravens the best team in the AFC, Fitzy?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's
– Really?
I mean, so how much credit do we give that versus how much credit do we give to the Chiefs for beating a Vikings team that's good with a backup quarterback?
Right.
I mean
–
So I'm still, if I had to put my mortgage on one team out of the AFC, not named New England, to make it, I'm still going to put it on the Chiefs because they're going to have Patrick Mahomes. And they just want to house money when you win a game and you don't have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the way the Chiefs defense, which is much maligned, played against the Vikings offense, deserves a lot of credit. So taking nothing away, although it sounds like I am, from Lamar Jackson and what he's been able to accomplish with the Ravens, I still think the Chiefs are a better team if we're going to pick somebody not named New England. And then we have to ask ourselves how much of what we saw Sunday night is played forward. I mean, I believe we're still learning who the Patriots are this year as a team because it's not a popular opinion. Every time I say it, Twitter kills me for being a Patriots hater. But they have beaten up on bad football teams.
They have.
I don't think we still know if they're any good, like to the level that we're trying to say they are.
And have given up a lot of rush yards last couple of games to Chubb and and then to Ingram. You're no doubt about it. Fitzy, you are the man.
Hold on, I have one more.
Oh,
Fitz, Josh Jacobs, more.
Oh Lord, a Raiders question.
More,
really?
More Walter Payton or Emmitt Smith, or is he kind of just like
because you beat the Lions?
Is he a hybrid between the two?
The funny thing is, the other day, I flippantly made the comment that to me he is the offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah,
I've watched
he is.
More of him than anybody.
Oh,
I know that,
gosh.
But he's at this point he's eclipsing Marcus Allen. He's eclipsed Bo Jackson,
yep.
And he's having a level of production we haven't seen from a rookie running back since Ezekiel Elliott. But we don't want to put him in that same.
No, we don't.
I don't know why.
You just said Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen. I wouldn't put him there yet either. Good
well,
Lord.
You know, but. Based on his production, one thing I always tell everybody is watch the other running backs for the Raiders behind that offensive line.
Yep.
They don't get anything.
They're right.
Then you put Josh Jacobs in
true.
That same run, and it's like, 16 yards there, 16 yards there. You know, I mean, he just he picks up yardage in chunks, and because he's doing it, you know, on a pitch count, for whatever reason, John Gruden is limiting his touches, which I think he'll thank him for later in his career. But because he's on a touch count, I don't think people realize just how dominant he is. But he is the reason the Raiders win when they win.
If you guys get the second wild card, is John Gruden the best coach in the NFL?
Well, I think Mike
After
Tomlin
Belichick.
Might say, hold my beer to that. You know, Tomlin's going to look around and say, hey, we're in the wild card conversation. And we played part of the season with that third string quarterback. So there's a lot of good coaches, but yeah, I think
it'd be impressive.
I think John Gruden specifically, you know, I'm not a huge Gruden supporter. Haven't been over the last year and a half, but my God, some of his coaching, some of the offensive play calling in the last few weeks has just been brilliant. And that falls at the feet of John Gruden. So I got to give him a lot of credit.
By the way, Fitz, thank God for the Chicago Bears. I mean, they just keep losing.
Yeah, we're doing it for you.
They just keep – I mean, are the Raiders winning the war of that trade? I think they might be.
Thanks a lot.
I mean, yeah, no, they definitely are at this point. Again, the number of players that they brought in to restock their roster, but the Bears made the one mistake you just can't make in the NFL, and that is they believed in their quarterback too soon, and so many franchises do it. That's why I keep saying, got to wait 2 or 3 years before you bank on having the guy at quarterback. And, you know, now the Bears are going to be in a situation where Mitchell Trubisky is going to end up being sat at some point, and then that's going to absolutely end him in Chicago. And then they're going to have to figure out, without a first-round draft pick, what to do about getting back in. And before you know it, they're going to be in that situation where they've got all this defensive talent that they're going to have to figure out how to pay, and they still don't have a quarterback. So it's going to be a difficult situation for the Bears, and I think Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky are both just the shine going away on Matt Nagy quickly,
man,
is alarming.
No doubt.
Ryan Pace as well, the general manager.
He wants back in Kansas City so bad. You think Andy Reid will take him back?
Oh, in a heartbeat, Andy Reid will take him back. And then they'll all be happy they got each other again, yeah.
Hey, Fitz, man, it was an honor to watch you
work
this weekend.
Thanks for what you did, too, for Memphis, for the program, just y'all coming. You really had the pulse, man. We appreciate you as well.
Well, and I can't tell you how many people, as I was walking to and from stage, kept saying, listen to you on 92.9, love you. And even Coach said, hey, love you on 92.9. So I just want to let you guys know that
you're beloved here, brother.
That platform, y'all are doing some great work. I'm just glad to be a small part of it, seriously.
Fitz, we look forward to hosting you guys again next year.
I can't wait.
Let's just make this
for that all the time.
We'll send you the schedule. We'll work something out. Fitz, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, sir.
Y'all have a great week.
Yep, he is Jason Fitz.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.